Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and today we are going to be talking to Brian Payton. For the past couple of broadcasts, we've been listening to Brian talk about his story as a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and today we're going to hopefully get to the part in his life where he finds his way leaving The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So Brian, welcome back. Glad to have you back for this third show. In yesterday's broadcast, you were talking about your experience in the temple. Mm-hmm. You were not married in the temple to your wife, Ying, and as we explained, she was born in a refugee camp in Thailand, but she is now in the United States. You meet her, you end up falling in love, you're going to get married, but you don't get married in a Mormon temple. You're married in a civil ceremony. Now, in Mormonism, that's perfectly legal with the LDS Church, but there is one major drawback. You will not be with your wife if you die in that state, and so you need to be sealed for time and eternity, and that means you have to go to a Mormon temple. Now, I guess somebody could do the work for you after you're dead, but most faithful Mormons want to do this for themselves, and so you are now living in Seattle, and you're going to go to the Seattle Temple, and you are going to be sealed for time and eternity. And unlike this great experience that most Mormons are hoping for, and quite honestly, some Mormons say it was a great experience, you didn't have that great experience. You found the ceremony to be a horrible letdown. And as you mentioned yesterday, one of the big things that you were so disappointed is all Mormons get a special temple name. And what was your name again?
Nimrod.
Nimrod. I'm sorry I'm chuckling, but as you were talking about yesterday, even though Nimrod was a character in the Bible, and what it means in the Hebrew is not the way we Americans think of the name, because when you call someone a Nimrod, you're basically referring to them as being pretty stupid or an idiot. And here in your mind, gee, God gives me this name? That's what I'm supposed to believe. And that's bothering you as you go through the temple. So why don't we take it up again from there?
I couldn't get out of the temple fast enough. And when we got home that night, the garments came off for me. My wife, it was shortly thereafter, about a week. And now we don't have the garments and we're trying to figure out what to do. And there was a period of discovery where we would study church history, we would read the scriptures. It was really church history first, but
and we're talking Mormon church history.
Mormon church history. Okay. And we would go through it, and we basically came to a conclusion that the church wasn't true. And this is the part of the story where I just don't have an explanation for it, but you know, we stayed in the church for another 10 years. Mm. We would sort of rationalize it to ourselves, and we would say, well, the Mormon church is the one true church, has the fullness of the gospel. So if it's got problems, well, then all these other Christian denominations, well, they're a knockoff version. So of course, we're not going to waste our time exploring them. So we'll just stay in Mormonism, even though we know that it's got some untruthfulness. And that's what we did for 10 years. It was like being in a vice. There's no fulfillment. There's no upliftingness going on, and eventually it just becomes a burnout. And for us, we left the church in 2014, and when we left the church, we did like so many Mormons do, and we went into more of an agnostic self-help system where it's like, hey, we're going to name it and claim it. We're going to go and just go out there and get whatever we can get. And yeah, okay, there may be a God, there may not be, we really don't know. But if there is a God, I'm pretty for sure he doesn't really care about us.
Well, you seem to explain exactly why many Mormons go through that period. You mentioned how even though the church has its problems, the Christian churches out there, okay, you did not see that as a viable option because you, tell me if I'm wrong, you were probably led to believe, according to the teachings of Mormonism, since Mormonism is the only true church, there really is no value outside of the Mormon church. Why in the world would you go there? So it's kind of like the church, as I've said many times, tends to prime the pump for former members to go off into agnosticism or even atheism.
Absolutely. It's that, and then it's also the distrust of the Bible that is bred in the member. I jokingly say I had no idea who Nimrod was because I really didn't read my Bible. And I'm sure that there are members who do read the Bible, but I would say a good portion of the folks in a general ward building on just a random Sunday, they are not seriously reading the Bible. It's Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants. Then let's go back to the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants. There's no real Bible reading. And that was definitely true for me. So the combination of why would I look at a knockoff and then not having any biblical knowledge, you're on a going 100 miles an hour straight into atheism or agnostic beliefs. We were. I mean, we lived that life for three and a half years. Our story to faith is some Christians, when I hear them tell their story, it's like they're walking down a parade of roses and balloons, and it's that was not us. You know, we're successful in the business that we were building, and I call it a week of a crucible of suffering. And a Christian friend of mine has said to me, there's meaning in the suffering. And for us, that's what happened. And this is all in 1 week, Bill. We had a death in the family on Tuesday. And then on Friday, we had some business litigation that we were unfortunately involved in. And through that, our bank accounts got frozen to the tune of $4.4 million. Mm. And then on Monday, still not a week, we discover that an employee, partner employee, had been embezzling funds from the company. So this all happens in the space of a week. And, you know, my wife and I, our self-worth was built up in our material achievements. And when you lose that all in the span of a week, I mean, you go to really dark places.
Did it ever dawn on you or occur to you that, oh, this has got to be because we left the only true church?
You know, it didn't. But the interesting thing is this. My wife came to me. And we were super depressed. I mean, to the point of considering suicide. And I was very close to the point of having the gun loaded and pointing it at my head. And my wife comes to me one day and she goes, Brian, I just need God in my life. I said, well, what are you going to do to get that? She goes, I'm going to go watch some general conference talks. So she goes and watch some general conference talks. And she goes, I didn't feel anything. There was nothing there. And then she started to watch some Christian pastors' talks. And she says to me, she goes, Brian, we're going back to church. And if you don't pick a church, I'm going to go to our ward. And I go, all right, I got to pick a church. So we pick a church. And I went, you know, Grace is probably a good name of a church to go to. So we picked a church called Grace. And we the day that we showed up, Bill, we're driving down the street, and this is in Texas, so there's a lot of evangelical churches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And three churches on the same street have Grace in them. So I'm like, I don't know where to go. There's some traffic guys signaling us into a particular Grace church, which, interestingly enough, was not the one that I had picked, but it's the one God wanted me to go to. And we walk into the church, and the first thing we do to look to the right, and there's a coffee bar. And we're going, oh no, they're drinking sin juice. And, and then we go in and they're playing rock music and we're going, this is not reverent. But that pastor that day gave a talk that was, I mean, it was like God told him he's talking to us even though he didn't know it. And the message was basically built around how Christ will walk with you through your sufferings. And it spoke to us. It led us to a point to where we, at another church, we're in another church because we had moved, and we're sitting in this church, and there's a biker guy sitting next, like a biker gangster guy, and we totally have our Mormon minds on. We both look at him and go, why are they letting this guy in here, you know? And we're being very judgmental of the pastor, and then what happens is, they do baptisms at the end of the service. So they're baptizing people. Bill, the first guy that goes down, he didn't go down all the way. He wasn't fully immersed.
Uh-oh.
And in my mind, I go, that yeah. doesn't count.
That's right. You have to be completely immersed in Mormon theology.
And then you know what happened was towards the end of the song that was playing in the baptisms, I look at my wife and she's just bawling. She's just crying uncontrollably. And then I realize I am as well. Mm. And that day, February 26, 2017, we gave our lives to the Lord. And we are just so appreciative and thankful and amazed by the love of God. And it may sound crazy, but of what He did to us to lead us to Him. You know, some people go, if you could change it, would you? And we would not.
So what is your message to the person who is still a member of the LDS Church? As a former member, what would you want to tell them if they were to sit down and just listen to what you have to say?
So, you know, I would say that truth ultimately is the most important thing. And I would tell the Latter-day Saint, be willing to, one, seek the truth, two, understand that you may not have it, and then once you get it, be courageous enough to do whatever it takes to follow it.
You actually evangelize. You go out and you talk to Mormons, and you are trying to show them what you have seen and to get them to, hopefully, as you talked about, look at the truth regarding Mormonism. How are you received when you do that?
A lot of the times, not well. I remember one of the first lessons that we got when we were talking to a Christian couple that was walking with us and discipling us, and we were learning about hell. And my wife says to the man, she goes, wait, you Christians really believe this, that there's a real hell and that people are going there? And he goes, absolutely. And she said, well, why aren't you Christians doing something to try to stop people from going there?
And for us,
that's our motivation. You know, we have a love for our former brothers and sisters in the LDS Church, and we know the pain that it is to be in that church, and we just want to preach Christ crucified, and that it's only through Him that you're able to, one, rest in Him, and then two, find the peace that I think so many members, if they really think about it at the end of the night, when their head hits that pillow, it's only through Him that you can get it. You can't get it through trying, and as we said earlier, putting your shoulder to the wheel. It just won't work.
I praise God, Brian, for you and your wife who have found a relationship in the Jesus of the New Testament. Sadly, far too many Latter-day Saints, when they come to realize that Mormonism is not true, that Mormonism is certainly not a restoration of the gospel, they end up going off into agnosticism and atheism. And you did temporarily go in that direction, but thankfully, Jesus sought you and bought you, drew you to Himself, and as a brother and sister in Christ, I think we can rejoice in what Christ has done. And I hope if there's any Latter-day Saints listening that they will think about the things that you have said. As I said, we've been talking to Brian Payton, a former member of the LDS Church who is now a Christian brother. Thanks for being on the show, Brian.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Did you know that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Mormonism Research Ministry? All of us at MRM want to thank those of you who have faithfully supported our efforts to educate the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as sharing God's grace with the Mormon people. If you would like to give a special anniversary gift to further our efforts here at MRM, simply click the donate button on our homepage at mrm.org. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.